Maureen Dillon Teasdale for The Cube, and it's time again for At the Movies with Mel, so we welcome Melanie Cutting.
Hello, again.
And what movies did you see this week? Did you see some?
I did. That's why we delayed by a couple of days.
Okay, that's good.
We usually do this like 2 days ago on a Monday, and I asked if we could do it on Wednesday instead because I had set up an engagement with a friend to go to see a movie last night.
Okay,
so,
good.
So I can talk about that movie, and I can talk about the movie that I saw last week.
Mm-hmm.
I'll begin with the one from last week.
Okay.
Partly because it was further back in time. And we'll have to see how much I remember. But in any event, it was called Solo, a Star Wars movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I suspect everybody in this universe has heard of this movie. And it, being the summer, of course, it comes along with many, many other blockbuster movies.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the famous Star Wars, the Star Wars universe, I don't know what to call it. It's not one that follows in the saga that has, I think, 9 episodes. This is like a little movie unto itself. It's called Solo, a Star Wars story, I think. But it's basically it goes back to the early days of Han Solo, who in the original pictures in the way back was played by Harrison Ford. Han Solo and his best friend Chewbacca, the Wookiee, and their Millennium Falcon. So all of these are iconic Star Wars personages. And this movie goes back to his roots. And he was born, that'll go back quite that far, but he had a kind of a troubled past and seems to have no family to speak of. But on his, where he grew up, he became very close with a young woman. And she is played by someone many people would recognize from Game of Thrones, Emilia Clarke.
Mm-hmm.
She plays the blonde-haired princess with the dragons. She's actually not a princess. She's a queen. Sorry. Her name will come to me when I'm not thinking of it. Anyway, so she's in this movie without the blonde hair, and she plays Han's lady friend. And they get separated. They're both trying to escape this world where they eke out an existence as kind of petty thieves, and they're just desperate to get away. He makes it out because he's Han Solo, and he's very agile and clever, and she doesn't. But of course, he's always trying to get back there. But he ends up spending something like 3 years away. So in the 3 years, of course, she's leading her life on that the original miserable planet, and he's gone on to do some studying and has learned how to fly, which had always been his goal. So Han is out there, and he hooks up with various people, one and some not people, like Chewbacca, and he kind of makes his way through life, but he really wants to go back to his planet and meet his former girlfriend. That finally doesn't happen, but they do meet later on, and she has. She's led quite a different life. I don't think this is a spoiler. She's kind of hooked up with one of the really sleazy guys that a boss. It's like a big boss type who's very vicious.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, she's become his partner. The movie itself, I found slow, and I like Star Wars. I especially liked those original Star Wars that go back to the 70s, and I had no problem with adapting to a new young actor playing the role of Han Solo. To get Harrison Ford to do it, they would have had to, you know, turn his biological clock around by about 50 years, and that wasn't going to happen. So this guy is good, and And there's a number of people that, as I say, you're introduced to who appear later on. One of which is Lando Calrissian, who's kind of a Sharpie.
Okay.
He dresses well. He hangs out in interplanetary bars and things. And there's always one, you know, I think what they called it originally was it's always a scene in a cafe or a bar or a casino of some sort in all of their movies, virtually all of their movies. And of course there's one here that gives them the opportunity to put lots of characters in bizarre costumes and lots of computer generated effects. And he's fun. He's played by, I think I mentioned the last time, a very fine and up-and-coming young actor named Donald Glover from Community, which is a show I used to watch. And he's done a number of other things since then. He's in it. He's Lando Calrissian. Emilia Clarke, I think everybody kind of likes her from Game of Thrones. The new young actor is Alden Ehrenreich. And he was fine. I'd never heard of him before or seen him, but I thought he did a good job of being the young Han Solo. The real problem was that the movie was too long, okay. And it just didn't have enough meat.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you got introduced to characters. Chewbacca is terrific and tall.
Mm-hmm.
And the other... I must admit, my favorite character is a non-human character, and that was Lando Calrissian's robot helper.
Okay.
Who is tall. He's like, not like a little tiny robot helper mm-hmm. that we tend to envision as R2-D2 types. This is a big, strapping robot woman who is a feminist.
Mm-hmm.
And she's wonderful. She's only in part of the movie, but when she's on screen and when she is speaking, this woman is almost worth the price of admission for this movie. And I'm not even sure who the voice was. I think I know who it was, but it wasn't. I don't think it was in the credits. So it was like, so now I can't be sure. But it was a kind of mediocre movie experience.
Mm-hmm.
Something that I noticed, and I was wondering if it was something about the projection or the theater, but it was very dark. The whole movie was kind of like in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, I'm having trouble seeing these people. I wish they would move into, you know, a brightly lit desert, which where they also have had, you know, many scenes in the past. And that was sort of just bothersome. Then I said, if I had to squint to see what's going on. But on the other hand, my son who was with me said, oh, I didn't notice that. So maybe it was me. So for fans of Star Wars and fans of blockbusters, definitely go see it. They were having some issues with the movie early on. They changed directors, and ultimately Ron Howard, the famous Ron Howard, mm-hmm. came in to be the director.
Okay.
I don't know if that made a lot of difference. I couldn't look at the movie and say, oh, there's all these little Ron Howard
mm-hmm.
touches, except his brother. He casts his brother in every single movie, and he's recognizable. So he had this tiny little role, but there he was. So that made it definitely a Ron Howard movie for me. So not one that I would go out of my way to mm-hmm. to recommend. And it's long. It's a mm-hmm. good 2 hours and 15 minutes, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be prepared to sit there in the dark mm-hmm. for quite a long time. But that's okay if you are a fan. Critically, it's doing kind of so-so.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reviews that I read, I must admit, I agreed with a number of them that said, not their best effort. Mm-hmm. But there will be many more efforts. So if you didn't like this one, there will be others to come. So that was the movie I saw on the very big screen at the Maison de Cinema, Cinema 12.
Okay.
Try to get all your movies in Cinema mm-hmm. 12 if you like big screens. And... And the second movie that I saw was called RBG.
Okay.
And I had seen this on Rotten Tomatoes, and I I have never heard of that movie. What is it? It was getting these stunning reviews, not just from the reviewers, but from regular viewers like you and me.
Mm-hmm.
So I made a point to go and see it, found a friend who was also interested. It is a stunning film. It really is. This is one I will say right up front, go see this movie. It's so good. And not because it got great reviews. It's good because it's good. And it's a documentary, so it's a little surprising that it is that good.
Oh, nice.
We tend to think of documentaries as maybe a little bit stuffy, perhaps, mm-hmm. and not something that is anywhere near as good as blockbuster type mm-hmm. movies. But this one is really quite something. And essentially, the subject of the movie is Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who sits on the Supreme Court in the United States. She is now, I believe, 86.
Oh, my.
She's up there.
Mm-hmm.
Sharp as a tack. Mm-hmm. And unless she has only very, very recently retired, and that's possible, she was still sitting on the Supreme Court and writing, you know, doing what Supreme Court justices do, which is deliberating on many, many, many cases. But her whole background was a bit of an unknown to me. I certainly had heard the name and I knew she was on the Supreme mm-hmm. Court, but that was kind of it. And it turns out that she was just totally instrumental person. First as a lawyer and then as a judge on one of the lower courts and ultimately on the Supreme Court in pushing the equal rights agenda. Okay. Women and men should be equal. Mm-hmm. Essentially in everything.
Mm-hmm.
And she took on cases that she knew would advance this agenda and just did a bang-up job with them. People who had filed because they discovered that they were being paid significantly less than men doing precisely the same job for mm-hmm. exactly the same amount of time and so on. So it's not preachy, it's not boring. You would think, this doesn't sound like something of great interest. But as a profile of this woman, it's astonishing. She's tiny. She looks to be about, I don't know, 4'8".
Oh, wow.
And they have a couple of scenes working with her trainer.
Mm-hmm.
She has a personal fitness trainer that she's had for a number of years, and she's something else in the gym. She has been ill some years ago. She had colorectal cancer, which mm-hmm. she fought and won.
Okay.
Never missed a day on the bench.
Mm.
And more recently has had pancreatic cancer.
Oh, my.
Seems to be beating it, but who knows for how long.
Mm-hmm.
But when she's gone, she will be missed,
mm-hmm.
Seriously missed. Anyway, she has become, and this was, I think, part of the reason, maybe the big reason for the people who put the documentary together to do it, so that people will know her. She has become a cultural phenomenon. She's like a pop icon. And the RBG, Ruth Bader Ginsburg,
mm-hmm.
Got sort of morphed a few years ago into like RBG, the notorious RBG, which is a play on mm-hmm. the rapper, the notorious B.I.G.
Mm-hmm.
So they have like caricatures of her in her robes and her very, very adorable little collars that she always wore
mm-hmm.
outside her robes, which she designed herself. and with a little crown tipped to the side. So she is the notorious RBG. She loves this. She's a very humble, very quiet, serious kind of a person, but she's got a good sense of humor, and you can see it in this documentary. And she is she has really no problem with her newfound popularity as this notorious RBG. So it's good fun. At one point, they have her watching a snippet of Saturday Night Live.
Okay.
Where they, Kate McKinnon on Saturday Night Live, who is in her Ruth Bader Ginsburg character,
mm-hmm.
comes on and talks with the Colin Jost on the little news segment that they have. And she said she'd never seen it. So they filmed her watching a snippet of Saturday Night Live and just laughing uproariously. She thought it was just the funniest thing ever. So she's obviously very quiet, very kind of sedate, but good sense of humor. The one, she's made a couple of errors. She's not perfect. There was one thing that she criticized Donald Trump sort of out loud when he was a candidate for presidency and got a lot of flack for that and ultimately apologized. And probably a far more serious error that she's made, and she doesn't consider this an error, but watching the movie, I said, that was wrong. That was a mistake. Is that when she was asked by President Obama, sometime within the past, I'm not sure, well, when he was president, if she would think about stepping down from the Supreme Court so that another liberal appointee, younger, could be put in while Obama was still president. That's how it works. You know, you have liberal presidents putting in liberal Supreme Court justices, and you have very conservative presidents putting in very conservative Supreme Court justices. So her, but here she was in her, well into her 80s at this point.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
But still, you know, totally loving her work, loving the law, you know, doing a great job. But now that time has passed. She is still on, unless she's retired, as I said, I can't remember now if that has actually happened or not. The next person who succeeds her is not going to be a liberal. It's going to obviously be a conservative. And the court has already swung towards the conservative from what it was when she first came on, which was kind of liberal. And it is often her job to write dissenting opinions. If she dissents from the majority opinion of the Supreme Court, if it's 5-4, for example, she will write eloquent, articulate, coherent, smart, dissenting dissent, I guess is the right word. And even though the court made its decision, and it was not, that's why she's dissenting, she doesn't agree with that, but even her dissenting opinions will get picked up by other people, and sometimes, for example, it'd be picked up by the legislators in Congress, and they'll say, well, this makes sense, even though it didn't, you know, it didn't, it didn't pass at the Supreme Court level. The dissenting opinion is, you know, very valid and worthy of a lot more attention. And sometimes those dissenting opinions will ultimately turn into law, although not through the Supreme Court. So that was fascinating. Anyway, never, well, I shouldn't say never a dull moment. There's one or two dull moments, but not many. And it's extremely well done. It's a musical. There's lots of interviews. The people that they do interview are, in some cases, her family, friends, other opponents of hers, and even her opponents, basically, by and large, you know, held extremely high opinion of her as a person, but... So here's this tiny little woman who's 86, and she is still a force to be reckoned with. So if you, even if you've never heard of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, it's worth 96 minutes of your time to sit down and watch this movie.
Good. Sounds fascinating.
It is. It's, it was really wonderful. So between the between my two movies this week, you know, one was a big budget snooze, and the other one was probably a pretty low budget, but totally interesting, totally engaging picture of a real person.
Good.
So that's what's happening. That's what I've seen. Meanwhile, yeah, we'll have a look at what's coming to the Maison de Cinema and what's leaving the Maison de Cinema. Maybe we'll talk first about what's going. This is the last week for the book club. And I think that, in fact, had ended up being only in... French, which is what happens often before movies leave. They suddenly go from being English and French to only French, and I believe this one had already the English version had disappeared. Fortunately, it looks as if the movie that I've been raving about, RBG, will be there beyond Thursday.
Oh, that's good.
Yes, mm-hmm. It's very good, because I thought, ooh, no one's going to be able to see it, because it'll mm-hmm. be here for a week and then gone. But I don't think that's the case, because on the website it does not say Daniel Erickson. So I'm mm-hmm. assuming it will be there for a while still. So what is there in English? There's a movie called Action Point, which is new, I believe, from this past Friday, with Johnny Knoxville. And I am not a Johnny Knoxville fan. Mm-hmm. He's just a little too, I don't appreciate his humor. Okay. And I don't much like his movies. So that's one that someone else will have to sit through and review if they wish. Deadpool 2 is still there, and it's still in English, and I would recommend that one. Mm-hmm. It's totally filthy, but good fun. Don't bring in the kids again. a new one that just began, I believe, this past Friday, is called, in French it's called En Plein Tempête, Adrift. In English it's called Adrift, mm-hmm. and I think I mentioned this last week. I haven't seen it. It's been getting, okay. It hasn't been doing badly at the box office. I think critics are not so happy with it. They just think it's a bit of a tired story. But basically, it's about this couple who are adrift in a very big sailboat. But still, they're adrift. Mm-hmm. They run into very rough weather, and then they spend 40 days surviving.
Wow!
So it's a survival movie, and I may get to see it, but maybe not. Another movie, which is there in English. Well, Solo is still there, and will be for a while, because it's Solo mm-hmm. and it's Star Wars mm-hmm. and it's doing. People aren't, I think, loving it, but it's doing well enough. What's coming down the pike? Oh, and of course, RBG mm-hmm. is there, so definitely go see that one. In terms of movies that are coming very soon, in some cases this Friday, we have one that I will absolutely go and see, called Ocean's 8, starring 8 women, among them Sandra Bullock.
Okay.
Seems to be the principal character. Mm-hmm. She is, I gather, she is the sister, her character is the sister of Danny Ocean, who was the main character in all of the other Ocean movies. Ocean's 11, Ocean's mm-hmm. 12, I think 13. There were a few of them. And certainly pretty successful. It's a little successful little franchise. Certainly the first mm-hmm. one I thought was totally entertaining. And this is Ocean's 8, all women, and interesting women. So I think it'll be a good movie. Also on this Friday, there is a movie which is, I think, now there in French at the Maison, but it will be coming in English starting on Friday. It's called Hereditary. And when I looked on Rotten Tomatoes to check it out, it was one of those movies which kind of like the one that I saw some weeks ago called A Quiet Place.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's a horror movie.
Oh.
But it's a cut above. Mm-hmm. It's a classy horror movie. And with a really good cast. So it's likely that if I can squeeze in 2 movies this week, mm-hmm. I would see certainly Ocean's 8 and possibly Hereditary as well.
Okay.
Because it was just doing so well. Mm-hmm. Couple weeks, well, not Friday, but a week Friday, Incredibles 2 is coming. Also on my list of must-sees. And 2 weeks down the road, on June 22nd, is another in the long line of Jurassic movies. This one is called Jurassic World something Kingdom. Sorry, can't read it. But it's another in the series about mm-hmm. Jurassic World, with Chris Pratt
okay.
playing the character that he played in the other film. And Ron Howard's daughter plays his friend, and she's very, I think she's had managed the Jurassic World mm-hmm. park in the past.
Okay.
Anyway, it's Ron Howard's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good little actress. So that's coming in 2 weeks
mm-hmm.
on the 22nd, along with, you know, there's, so if you go on the site, little plug for the site here, you can see what movies are coming. Of course, you can see what movies are there now. I will give my standard annoyed comment about the fact that when you go into the movies and showtimes page, which mm-hmm. is where people typically go first, and you start off on the current date, today's date,
mm-hmm.
and instead of having 16 movies on that page to click on and get mm-hmm. information about, there are six.
Okay.
And so, it's just a glitch mm-hmm. in the website. Don't let it deter you. If you see only six movies instead of 16, you know there's a problem. So the way to get out of that is to simply click on the next date. In this case, it would be tomorrow, June 7th.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly, all 16 movies are front and center.
Okay, that's important to know.
That's good to know, yeah. And the other little thing that I was talking about before we went on the air here is the fact that even though I've mentioned it to them, it seems that they don't, either they didn't pay attention or they may not have understood or I talked to the wrong person. But on that main page where they give you all the movies that are there and they have a little FR for French or EN for English mm-hmm. or both close to near the little picture from the movie. In some cases, as with RBG and some other movies in the mm-hmm. past, instead of saying EN, meaning English, mm-hmm. and then French subtitles in code, it doesn't say that. It just says FR.
Okay, so that's important French. To note, too. Yeah.
So unless you care enough to click on the little poster mm-hmm. to get more information about it, you would not know that, in fact, it's an English movie in English with French subtitles.
Mm-hmm.
So I find that bothersome. And I will try talking to somebody else there and see if there's a way of fixing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
or just making it clearer somehow. Mm-hmm. So I think in terms of, there's many, you know, other kind of being, of course, summer. School will be out soon. And it's a time when you can count on lots and lots of blockbusters coming out. But it's nice that there are also some movies that are clearly designed for the over 25 set, and I'm delighted. So we have to, as you often say, you know, make a point of getting out, going to the movies, especially on a rainy day.
Mm-hmm.
If you have some time at your disposal, check out what's playing at the Maison de Cinema. Go and buy that packet of 8 tickets for $56, so you don't have to shell out every time, and it's the cheapest way to do it. $7 a show is quite something,
yeah. mm-hmm.
unless you're a student, and then it's even less.
Mm-hmm.
Let's show some support for them. It's rare that I go to the movies there and find that there's a full house. So, and yet, they bring the movies in English.
Mm-hmm.
They don't always keep them for as long as I would like in English, but they bring them in. So I think that's an effort that should be applauded. And if you can get into the movies and bring some friends with you and have fun.
Exactly. Well, thank you very much, Melanie.
You're welcome.